Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us, you know we've been going through an 8-part series on this particular portrait of God that I call He is Our Gift Giver. Today we come to number 8, and I always feel like we're saying goodbye to an old friend when we're wrapping up a series. And so this will be a little bit of a brief summary of where we've been, and then we're going to cover the last 3 of 20 different spiritual gifts that are unwrapped for us in Scripture in 3 different categories, 3 different passages, and we'll review that for just a moment, and then we'll finish up those last 3 very exciting gifts that we call situational spiritual gifts. And if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to start making your way to Daniel 7 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, especially 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for our theme verse. And as you're making your way there, just a reminder that all of these messages, they're 27 minutes long, are archived on my website at markpg.org. I call it Helping You Hear God. And on that landing page, you'll see options for 3-minute videos on portraits of God, articles I've written for local publications on all kinds of themes that I call Whispers of God. You'll also see options for printable guides on all kinds of topics. And then you'll see the broadcast box. Click on that. Then click on Portraits of God, and there you'll find our archived radio messages, including the one on this series, How the Lord is Our Gift Giver, who gives us 20 listed spiritual gifts in 3 categories and 3 passages. And as we get started, as is our custom, just jot down that website at markpg.org. And now let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, thank you so much for the privilege you have given me all these years to sit at your feet with my brothers and sisters and do the best I can to unpack your amazing truths for us, these amazing portraits of who you are and how you work. And so, Lord, as we're wrapping this one up today, I pray that I will be able to really clearly communicate how you are our amazingly generous and lavish gift giver. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, as we have taken this journey together, we started over in Romans 12 and saw personal spiritual gifts that are listed there. The first 7 of this list of 20 in this passage are listed prophecy, and I used animal metaphors for each of these. Prophecy is eagle, teaching, that's the tiger, exhortation, that's the dolphin, administration, that's the ant, service is the squirrel, giving is the honeybee, and mercy is the dove, and the first 4 messages of this series covered those 7. Next, we went from the personal spiritual gifts and the animal metaphors to positional spiritual gifts with a ranger metaphor. The positional spiritual gifts are in Ephesians 4, and he gave some as apostles, and then prophets, and evangelists, and then the 11th, the shepherd or pastor, teachers. And so we covered that. Some view those as offices. Others notice the word office is not anywhere in this passage, but they see them as positions in the church. Some view these as positions of authority, which then would exclude women according to the authority clause that we have in 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but some view these as roles and not necessarily with authority, and in which case women are able to fulfill that function. And again, that's in message number 5 in the series. Then we came to the situational spiritual gifts after these positional spiritual gifts. And the situational spiritual gifts, Oh, by the way, the ranger metaphor for the position one, you know, we all need park rangers if we're going to hike in the Rocky Mountains. It's dangerous up there. Beautiful, but dangerous. It's wise to seek out the help of rangers and in the spiritual lives, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherd or pastor teachers. All right, now, got that settled. Situational spiritual gifts, so kind of like raindrops that the Lord gives for the moment. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And then verse 8 here in 1 Corinthians 12, for to one is given the word of wisdom. We talked about that. And the word of knowledge, we talked about that. Faith, we talked about that. That's number 14. 15 was healing, as it says here. Then in verse 10, the effecting of miracles. By the way, not healers and not miracle workers, but healing and miracles. Then to another, prophecy, that's number 17. And now we come to 18, 19, and 20 to finish up. The passage says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to another, the distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. And here's the key, verse 11, how all this operates. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. I love that. So, just to wrap up the overview, personal spiritual gifts, the animal metaphors in Romans 12, those are constituted. They're given to us. They're hardwired to us. We get two primary ones, and then we begin to take on the other gifts because as we become more Christ-like, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we start reflecting all of these gifts, though we start out with two primary ones. And it's so important to appreciate every one of those. Those are the personal spiritual gifts. The positional gifts are like roles in the local church and the body of Christ, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the shepherd, the pastor, teachers. But these situational spiritual gifts, whatever the situation is, God has a way of raining down a gracelet or a grace drop for the moment. And these are these kinds of gifts. They're given for the moment. You don't own them. You can't use them as will. The Lord is the one who gives to each one individually just as he wills. And we saw this in the word of wisdom. That's number 12. The word of knowledge, number 13. 14 is faith. 15 is healing. 16 was miracles. 17 was prophecy. Now we come to number 18, the distinguishing of spirits. Have you ever had that situation where you're talking with somebody or you're in a group meeting or something and you just have a gut feeling that something's not right? Or you get this kind of a red light starts going off in your mind. Or you think, you know, something doesn't smell right here. Or another metaphor would be, oh, an alarm bell started going off when I was talking with this guy or this woman or when I was hearing this thing, something just didn't set right. I mean, we say it in so many ways. We also talk about women's intuition. They just have this sixth sense that something's not quite right. Well, I have great news. This is the grace drop or the gracelet from above, a situational spiritual gift of distinguishing spirits or discerning spirits. Something's not quite right here. Let me give you some scripture about this, because this covers everything from just something that's not settled in your spirit regarding somebody else's personal spirit, or it might be the spirit that operates in the invisible realm, demonic spirit. So let me just give you a brief overview of this. We have a whole series on these things, but let me just give you the overview of this. Daniel 7:15 says this, as for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. All right, well, that's all the stuff I just read a moment ago or shared a moment ago about a gut feeling, red lights, something doesn't smell right, all those things. Our spirits, the Lord gives us a spirit, and women gives them an extra sensitive spirit to sense something's wrong to protect them. Situationally, this gracelet comes down in a situation and boom, you have a discerning spirit there that calls for caution or backing off as a way where the Lord protects you. Isn't that cool? I love the spiritual gift of distinguishing spirits. 1 John 4:1 puts it this way, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So there you have it again. Test the spirits. Listen to the voice of your heart in the Lord, your spirit in communion with the Lord about this. Then we have some other passages that talk more about the demonic realm, those kinds of spirits. Let me just unpack that briefly for you. Again, this is a whole other series, but I want to give you the overview. Sometimes God gives us an ability to discern that there's a different kind of spirit working in this situation. Here's five demonic dynamics. First, they're dynamic. Let me get that out. Demonic doctrines. Now, that's 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit explicitly says that some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits. Now, those are demons. And to doctrines of demons. Doctrines just means teachings. Sometimes we've bought into this world system and bought into the lies promulgated in all kinds of ways through media and movies and stuff, and we buy into demonic doctrines, things that are not true, teachings that are not true. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 calls them demonic thoughts. Here's what it says there. We do not war according to the flesh. We are taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ. So we can have these demonic thoughts, and that are kind of like doctrinal teachings. Those are the two things that we're starting with. The third is what I call demonic viruses, metaphorically. Let's pick it up in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. We are destroying speculations, that is, viruses is the metaphor, and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. And then that passage goes on to talk about strongholds. So we have demonic doctrines, demonic thoughts, demonic viruses, or demonic strongholds. In verses 3 through 5 in 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. So 1 Corinthians 10 gives us this progression of how the enemy, through demonic forces, sometimes through the worldly system, you know, he is the god of this world in that sense and all, these thoughts come into our mind. We're supposed to take every thought captive. Is this of God or not? If that thought gets embedded in us, in our minds, then we start spinning around in our minds. It becomes like a virus and starts infecting our worldview, our understanding of God and His ways, our interpretation of Scripture, how we relate and understand other people. And these viruses can really affect us and how we view God and His ways. And then they become, if they don't get dealt with, you don't get help, get some counsel, get some insight to say, wait a minute, this is not right, this is not of the Lord, it can become a stronghold, an internal mental, emotional understanding of something and belief that's so strong it's hard to break through. But the Lord gives us weapons for our warfare that are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The Scripture itself, prayer, counsel, all books, discipleship, communion, conversations with others, discipleship, all of these things help protect you from demonic thoughts, viruses, and strongholds. And then there can actually be a demonic presence sometimes. Wow, demonic presence can be so dominant in people's lives. Mark chapter 5, verse 2 tells us the story of the Gadarene demoniac. And when Jesus got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And there we have examples of bizarre behavior, self-exile, self-mutilization. He was gashing himself, you know, with sharp instruments, supernatural strength. He was breaking chains. This person that was inhabited by a demonic spirit, there were strange voicings going on. Now, that's the extreme of the demonic spiritual world stuff. But I just wanted to give you a brief glimpse that discerning of spirits gives us the ability to sense in our spirits something's not right, whether we can put our finger on it or not. There's something not right. We're getting clues into the invisible realm, the supernatural realm that God gives us in this spiritual gift from above like a grace drop that says, be careful, back off, or get help. So that's the distinguishing of spirits. Isn't that cool? All right, now let's go to number 19. 19 in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says that speaking in tongues is one of the gifts from above, one of the gracelets from above. Now, we're going to take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14 is all about how tongues and things works. The Lord invested a lot of time in the scriptures to explain it. Now, we do have differing views on the gifts of tongues and also the interpretation of tongues, which is number 20. So this is going to round out our list of 20 spiritual gifts from our gift giver, speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. And let me just kind of say, just by way of overview, there are differing views on these gifts. We have the Pentecostal tradition from Azusa Street back in the early 1900s. And then decades later in the 1950s, the charismatic movement was spawned by the Full Gospel Businessmen's Luncheons and then began to go into different denominations where we had mainline denominations beginning to practice some form of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. So you had the classic Pentecostal construct of how that works. Then you had a charismatic one that's developing, was pretty flexible. Then in the 70s, the third wave movement, the Vineyard movement, and also evangelicals began to embrace the reality of speaking in tongues for today that are still alive today, as is interpretation of tongues. And within the evangelical camp, I'm a part of that, we have two camps. We have cessationists who believe, no, those signs, gifts ended in the first century, the scripture's enough. And then we have others say, well, no, the scripture is certainly sufficient and primary, but there are some supernatural speaking in tongues events that goes on, but we don't explain it the same way as our charismatic brethren or our Pentecostal brethren. So let me just sum it up by saying this. There's a reality to this, and of course we're going to have differing views on how it works within the nuts and bolts, and it's okay. I have no problem with that. So I'm just going to share with you some scripture, and you can do with it what you will as I unpack it, as you come up with your own understanding in your walk with the Lord Jesus. All right? Speaking in tongues, then. Acts 2 is something we referred to last time when tongues like a fire appeared and there was the day of Pentecost. Some people were amazed, we discovered last week. But others said, nah, they're just drunk with wine. So there you have an example of some see the supernatural activity of God, some do not. That's going to happen. It's okay. And in Acts 2, that kind of tongues were actual languages that were heard. Not so much spoken, but heard by people from different regions. So that's one type of manifestation or expression of speaking in tongues. But now let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:1. Here's another key to this understanding of speaking in tongues. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I speak with the tongues of mankind and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. So sometimes a tongue can be manifested, and it's the tongue or language of another country or something, like we said in Acts, but sometimes it may be a kind of a tongues of angels. Well, what does that mean? Well, there's no direct interpretation of that. In fact, let's go to now 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, for the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. This has come to be known as personal prayer languages. When you utter a language from above of some kind that has no direct rational interpretation as another language from another country, but rather this is just an utterances unto the Lord from your spirit communicating with his spirit that doesn't necessarily go through the mind in a rational sense, but it does communicate spirit to spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 14:2. Listen to this expression in Romans 8:22-23. Oh, this is fascinating. For we know, this is verse 22 in Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Not only that, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters to the redemption of our body. My friends, I believe this is the types of tongues, a personal prayer language between you and the Lord. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when there are these things in my heart and spirit that I'm just groaning about. I'm not even sure exactly what they are. Am I the only one, or do you understand what I'm saying? And there are times in my personal prayer time when I'm deep in the Lord, deep in the Spirit, I just start groaning and different things come out, and like a tongue comes out. And it's just expressing an emotion, expressing a heart, expressing, but not cognitively, not rationally, but spirit to spirit. You say, well, isn't that just kind of silly? Apparently not, because here in Romans 8, verses 26 through 27, it says this. Now, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for, as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings, or an angelic tongue, so to speak, too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So what I'm saying to you is, one expression or understanding of speaking in tongues is as a personal prayer language that can come out in groanings. It's only for your personal prayer time. The Spirit of the Lord and your spirit are communing. And I got to tell you, in my life, when those seasons come and I'm able just to groan and just come out with some kind of angelic language or whatever, I'm just saying, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, and I don't need to know, Lord. I'm on a need-to-know basis. What I do know is, you got this, you got me, and it's so good just to be able to verbalize something in order for me to become more the place of peace as I commune with you. Wow. Now, this kind of tongue, this personal prayer language, is not for public settings. That is a whole other matter. Let me take you now to the 20th gift. It's about interpretation of tongues. Listen to this. This is a, oh, by the way, I forgot to give you the definitions of these things. Number 18, distinguishing spirits. Here's your definition. God-given ability to discern demonic, fleshly, or sinful dynamics at play. And so we talked about that. God-given ability, a gracelet from above for the situation, to discern demonic, fleshly, sinful dynamics at play. It may be just general and you back off. He may be give you more specifics later, but that's the definition there. Number 19 is speaking in tongues, God-given personal prayer language, or a timely public statement. That's two types. Now, I just gave you the scripture and an explanation of personal prayer languages, which may be groanings. But now, if it's sometimes that God uses a tongue to deliver a timely public statement or word of encouragement in a public setting, now we come more about that in number 20, interpreting tongues, which is the God-given ability to interpret a public statement spoken in a tongue. All right, the God-given ability to discern or to speak and interpret a public statement spoken in a tongue. 1 Corinthians 4:6. But now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or of knowledge or of prophecy or of teaching? Sometimes God uses a tongue, a brief tongue, to deliver a brief statement of revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching in that situation for that day, for that group of people. And that's why in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 14 says, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue is to pray that he may interpret. That's one option. Verses 27 through 28 put it this way, if anyone speaks in a tongue, it must be by two or at the most three, and each one in turn, and one is to interpret. But if there is no interpreter, he's to keep silent in the church and have him speak to himself and to God. So a personal prayer language shouldn't be uttered in a public section or gathering, but if it's a statement that may be from God, well, Okay, speak it. But then verses 32 through 33 says the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets, for God is not a God of confusion or peace, but of peace. So people there need to interpret and then assess whether this is of the Lord or not. Now, there's so much more I can go into, but that's for another series. I just wanted to give you this brief overview that God gives us the steps and the parameters with which to operate in these situational spiritual gifts from above, interpreting tongues for the public gathering. That's rare, but it can be done. More commonly is speaking in tongues as a personal prayer language, groanings as unto the Lord, a deep, deep time in the Lord, distinguishing of spirits as unto the Lord as a protection. These are ways that the Lord, our gift giver, rains down all of these different gifts, these situational spiritual gifts, to protect us, to teach us, to grow us, to draw us more and more unto himself. Don't let those many, many gracelets or grace drops of giftings like this go wasted and splattered on the ground. Cultivate an ongoing heart for the Lord, an ear for the Lord, to hear his cues in any situation that comes up with one of these situational spiritual gifts that he may choose to send down just as he wills. Isn't it marvelous? Oh, I just love this. Well, Lord, thank you so much for this journey. I know it's a quick overview, but I hope it's enough to get people pointed in the right direction, which is to you. You are our gift giver, giving us personal spiritual gifts, positional spiritual gifts, and situational spiritual gifts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, your gift giver.